Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 37 of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans.
Yes.
All out spoilers.
Yes.
Inspired, basically, because tonight was supposed to be a big night in horror TV, in that The Walking Dead debuted.
Yeah.
So we grouped up real quick, sort of like school assignment side, and jumped in front of a television, and we watched this season premiere, season 8.
Yeah.
Woo! 100 episodes. So, yes, congratulations to all of those.
Made it to 100, right?
Happy and healthily employed people making TV in Atlanta.
Yes,
definitely.
Can't be mad at that.
So, like, two black people.
However, there are a couple of things that you could be mad at.
Oh,
okay.
Possibly.
Maybe? Or like,
maybe.
Okay.
Like the fact that... Well,
you a tiger named Sheba?
I don't mind a tiger. I mean, honestly, I wish I could train this cat to like roar whenever, you know, when I end my Malcolm X speeches. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Shakespeare's soliloquy.
You know, exactly. We didn't land on Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans.
Exactly.
Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans landed on us.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's what I love that.
I like
what
that.
The hell are you?
Those who beefed, wine, and shenanigans with me tonight will be my brothers.
Will be my brothers.
And my sisters.
And my sisters. And my sisters.
Oh.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes. So, all right. And hi, Facebook. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Well, this is sort of an experiment where we threw my phone up on a tripod. So we're actually going live, and we're recording the way we normally record for Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also be on Scream Radio.
Yes.
Shout out to Tracy and Manimal and all those folks over there.
Yeah.
So... There's a one troubling thing about Walking Dead.
Okay.
And it's the fact that brothers can't seem to catch a break. I mean, from Tyrese to T-Dog to the Everybody Eats Chris episode.
Yeah.
Like now we got Ezekiel, but he's crazy.
He lost his damn mind a while ago.
Morgan is at least killing people now. Yeah. That's nice.
Right, yeah. Morgan got his own ninja shit.
But now we've got, for those of you that didn't see the episode, now the father is potentially...
Gabriel?
Father Gabriel is potentially seeing his last little bit of screen time, at least... Possibly.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for him.
It does not look good.
And I think in consideration of what you know the topic we're talking about,
right.
You know, when the brothers get into like a bad spot, it don't look good.
Yeah.
It really doesn't look good.
It doesn't look
something else cool will happen and it'll change the character.
Right.
No, no. If it looks bad, it's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad.
Pretty much every other character in that show that has survived more than two seasons, like Glenn.
Yes.
Glenn did eventually die.
Right.
But before that, he was pulling some old, like, you know, 80s sitcom cliffhanger type shit.
Yeah.
Dude, he was like the Van Damme of... He was like the action hero of
like,
Walking Dead.
We
were work
like that, that when he fell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And under that dumpster. Yeah, mm-hmm. That we actually did think that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we were seeing after that was either a flashback or,
right,
took us a while to realize whether or not that was really happening. But,
yeah, and honestly, when he fell and then they did and it's almost like how they used to do those old Zorro episodes, where it's like they finally show you the full thing and there's that little bit they didn't show you the first time. And it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Peril's appalling.
Are we really doing this, AMC?
Right.
But they did.
Right. And you know, Father Gabriel ain't got no gifts like that.
No.
God ain't helping. God ain't help y'all now.
But you know, I don't... You see, that's the thing.
Talk to me. Let it out.
See, that's the thing with these kind of shows, and, mm-hmm. and particularly the writing. Because after a while, you know, as writers, you know, we do know that our characters tend to take us in directions, certain directions. But after a while, there has to be a point where the believability factor has to play into this thing.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, let's be serious now. The man you're saving, mm-hmm. the one who you just risked your life for,
mm-hmm.
threw y'all to the wolves. Yeah. Now, I mean, I would have thought at this point, yeah. Gabriel had gotten to the point where he recognized, I can't do that shit no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that's where we were with him. And for him to literally, like, jump out of the car. And then the fact that this dude made it to the car without getting shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, he didn't get a bullet to him? Oh, well, as far as we know, he didn't get shot. He might be in the car, and the car might stop 5 miles down the road, and he might be dead, for all we know.
Right.
But it just, to me, it just seems to be lazy writing. Yeah. When we constantly do this every season, where it's that one guy that's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself, knowing that the person you're sacrificing for doesn't give a shit about
ain't
you.
Shit.
So,
because Gregory ain't shit.
No.
So
I'm confused by all of that, but
I'm concerned. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing about this show, and the funny thing is, before you guys got here. Mm-hmm. And we started with Walking Dead. I was watching The Gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
And The Gifted is interesting. It's fun. It's sort of a left of center X-Men story.
Right.
It's supposed to be post X-Men Brotherhood world, and mutants are still running around, but they're sort of being deemed as dangerous, and they're kind of being locked up and stuff. And it's just funny because you have so many characters in that show, Walking Dead, and a few others, and they are in dire circumstances,
yeah.
but don't seem to fully absorb that they're in dire circumstances, right. mm-hmm. and they want to go be heroes. They want to turn themselves over to the police, yeah. or they want to do all these things. When evidence, everything in front of them is telling you, no, you're in serious trouble. You need to run, or knuckle up, or something,
right.
other than trying to be passive nice guy. And it gets frustrating watching that stuff sometimes,
right?
Because you're like, well, shit, I wouldn't do that, and it just kind of takes you out of the head a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why that seems to be like a go-to thing, you know, because I mean, part of the reason why we watch and we read all of this kind of speculative fiction and everything else is to escape the reality that we live in. Like, mm-hmm. I know there are things like, you know, the old horror movie jokes were always, you know, somebody heard a noise. And instead of running away, they went to investigate, you mm-hmm. know, when you know that six of your friends are already dead, right. you know, or the, you know what,
right.
you know,
right.
I found John's body. He's been gutted.
Yeah.
You wait here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go see if there's anybody yeah. else left at the right. camp alive.
Nobody got a gun.
No,
nobody got a hammer.
Weapon.
Nothing.
Or nothing.
Like an Allen key.
Allen keys and chiclets.
You know.
And some gum.
And I would think, you know, I understand to a certain point, and I give it. But I have to give it. I'm going to just segue to this. In the first Jeepers Creepers film, there was something that happened in there that I thought was unique because there's a scene after they see the creeper throwing bodies and stuff down this chute,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this brother and sister get into this conversation, and he says, "What if it were you? Wouldn't you want somebody to have
come
to see if you were okay, to get help?"
Right.
And I was like, okay, that makes sense mm-hmm. as opposed to the old.
Right.
But we're at a point now where this seems to be like an old WWE. go-to thing, you know, when the wrestlers come out and he's like, oh, you want me to come down to that ring? I'm going to come down to that ring.
Right.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Just not tonight.
Right.
Meanwhile, yeah. Nothing's holding you back in the ring for coming up there and beating his ass.
Right.
But we just going to keep going through this whole thing, you know. So it's...
Yeah, that was a very long, like, the dialogue between Rick and Negan there. Meanwhile, everybody's standing there,
like,
armed to the teeth.
And ready. Yeah.
And ready. It's like, you know, all right, are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to... No, we're going to talk. And he's right. It was very, you know,
oh, I'm going to tell you something, brother.
Uh-huh.
Come Deathmatch 3000. I'm coming for you.
You know?
And all the little nigga maniacs, they're gonna be there with me, brother.
Yeah, I can't.
They're gonna be there with me.
Nigga maniacs.
Nigga maniacs.
Yeah, I like that.
Nigga maniacs.
Nigga maniacs. Mm-hmm. Hey, Paula. Paula's watching.
Yeah, hey, Paula.
There's one person watching.
There's one person. So.
Oh, you put on live? That we live?
Yeah, I did.
On what? On BSW?
No, I put it on my Facebook page.
Well, anybody gets the alert, hey! Anybody assigned into Beef Wine and Shenanigans that happens to be on Facebook right now, they will see Beef Wine and Shenanigans went live.
Because
mm-hmm. We did. We went live.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Mm, we're going, yeah.
So,
yeah, Negan and Rick having,
yeah, that
having a circle jerk with guns.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
And it's crazy because the hype around this season,
yeah.
The fact that they are getting into what's considered, you know, for the readers of the books and everything, the all-out war arc.
Okay, right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and the funny thing is, obviously the producers have never been very forthcoming about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
But they've come out and said that there's going to be all this action and explosions and this and that. And true, it was a lot of
mm-hmm.
shit blowing up.
Zombies and dragons and shit.
Oh, my. but, I mean, I don't know. You know, the funny thing is that now that we've all seen Glenn get his face turned into Hamburger Helper, I mean, like, where else can we go? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, outside of the fact that they, you know, still could stand to let some brothers live. I mean, you know, that would be new and exciting,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I keep, you know, with Father Gabriel going, you can start setting your watch to Ezekiel. That's going to be one sad tiger.
That's going to be some hurt shit right there.
You know?
I guess what it is, we got a three brother.
That's the rule. Usually,
yeah. No, that's the rule.
Usually,
that's
the rule. Because
there was one idle brother running in between the cars with a gun, who had no lines.
Right? He don't matter.
You know, he's like
he red shirt.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did see him. Yeah,
he's like the guy, the brother in the Gifted.
Yeah,
that had one line.
Right.
Yeah, he a red shirt. He's the first brother from that prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna help you. Bam.
Yeah, dude.
Well, damn, dude.
Like, I've been on television longer than he has. My one little appearance in the TRL documentary, I think I had more screen time than that.
They better hunt them up, give
good
them
good Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez,
oh,
man.
Wait, I got something. Hey.
Mm.
So, excuse me for being crude. I'm not going to go there. But I will say, really, you're going to leave Michonne behind? Y'all going for a big assault on Negan? And, hey, take care of my baby and my son. And then bounce. word dog. Real for real dog. Right? We're going to give her a little bit of the dick, and then she masculated now. We I'm just saying.
Okay. There's two ways to look at that. That's a fair point.
We literally. Maggie, who was pregnant, who has a newborn child, correct?
Maggie has
a newborn child.
Mm-hmm.
So she just gave birth, what, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago? Did she gun up? She gunned up, right?
Yeah, she was there.
She rifled up on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, and who's the old chick? She
Carol.
Silas, yeah. She about to start taking Silas pretty soon. She gunned up, though. She got rifled up.
Wait. Alice.
Hold on.
I like her too. No, I'm saying
that you watch it.
Hold on, wait.
She ain't no doctor shit.
And wait, hold on.
So Alice is just, like,
no. If I could play devil's advocate for a moment.
Okay.
Please do.
Maggie
yes.
is representing another colony, though.
The hillside.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So she's technically their leader. That's why she's there.
Right.
Ah, wait, okay.
Isn't also Jesus? Jesus part of the hill crew?
No, he is.
He's hillside crew,
remember,
right?
That's why he yelled out, we're with Maggie.
Right.
And no, I'm saying that because your question about why Michonne's not going.
Yeah.
Because Michonne is not leading a colony.
Oh.
Joe, what's happening?
Jesus ain't either, right?
No, he's not. No, he's like a lieutenant. No, I see what you're saying, though. The question of why they're leaving her behind
is because...
No. I'm saying to you about Maggie, the reason why Maggie is there.
Because she's leading.
Because she's a leader from
Hillside.
From Hillside.
Right. And Carol's there because...
I don't know why Carol is there. Carol is
First of all, Carol's there because Carol's crazy.
Carol,
crazy.
You getting in a fight, you bringing Carol.
Okay.
Carol basically was the one that blew up the whole prison by herself.
She did.
Okay.
That she did.
Came in there, also, oh, this is over.
I mean,
the only thing missing from that
was
attack was basically right. Richard Crenna walking up talking about, you're going to need more body bags, Al.
And the other.
What kind of person made Carol? Nobody made Carol. I did.
Fuck you.
Troutman.
Oh, shit.
United States Army.
Yeah.
Carol's Delta Force.
Basically.
And the other girl?
She's trained to kill.
With the Twizzlers in her mouth?
Period.
She's just mad because she...
No, well...
She got to go.
Look.
Well, that whole...
She lost a girlfriend.
Right. Okay.
She lost a girlfriend. Yeah. Maggie lost Glenn.
Yes. And Michonne got Dick.
Well,
so she got to stay.
No. But everybody in that ragtag crew
lost somebody
with Maggie and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That whole crew is just nuts. Cause Morgan crazy, Carol's crazy, Norman. I almost called him Norman Reedus. But Daryl crazy. They just sent the crazy crew out into the streets because they knew the crazy crew would take care of that.
I'm sorry.
They're the street team.
Yeah. They put up your flyers for your mixtape.
The black chick running around with dreads and a samurai sword carrying around two dead motherfuckers around with her. She ain't crazy, though. She all right.
I didn't say she was all right. But she ain't part of the crazy team.
But
You know what?
The thing with Rick and Michonne.
Yeah.
And I know this is not gonna come. This is not gonna sound right, no matter how I phrase it.
Uh-huh.
So here it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like if I'm Rick, and I'm getting ready to go into a fight.
Yeah.
But I'm, and it's like, am I looking to bring someone who? Because he loves Michonne now.
Yes. Right.
I feel is definitely part of the narrative. That's mm-hmm. that's a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me going into a fight,
yeah.
But then I got my woman with me,
right?
You know, I feel like that might be too much of a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Give it. I mean, aside from the fact that they do it all the time in the CW superhero shows,
yeah. Oh, and they've pretty much been doing it all the time. That's how they hooked up in the first place, is because.
True.
You actually hooked up with me because you always had my back, mm-hmm. and I always had your back.
Mm-hmm.
So now we fucking. I can't have you around my back no more. I gotta keep my pussy tight.
But she's left behind. You know what?
I gotta keep my pussy locked.
See, this is what I'm talking.
That's
about.
That's that bullshit, though.
This is why
I gotta keep her locked up. So
wait,
because I gotta get some money to go back to.
She is protecting.
Carl.
Alexander. No, she's not protecting. Carl crazy. And Carl need to be with the crazy crew.
So Carl didn't go.
No, Carl. Carl didn't go.
No, Carl didn't go.
They left Carl. They left her. They left the Hispanic chick.
No. Yes.
They left her.
Rosita.
They left some key people behind in case Negan got through. So... If I would now, let's look at it logically.
In all fairness, Rosita needs to get left behind because Rosita fine as a motherfucker. Let's keep it real. Look, yeah. I'd be like, you know what, Rosita, you just sit this out. We got this, baby. You just, you know what?
Locking up that pussy, right?
You just
You got a lot of pussy, right? Go ahead, Method Man. Okay, Method Man. I'll be there for you. How'd it go?
Joe.
Keep my pussy away, but keep it tight.
Joe, I hope your kids are in bed. You're not here. They're not up here in this.
Thank you.
Hearing this mess.
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
Very much.
Oh, anyway, interesting episode.
Yeah.
Nice plan with the herd.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was good.
With the zombie herd.
That was good.
Yeah, they had a witch king with them. They would have really had a real thing if they had a witch king with them or something. But you know, different show.
Why don't you throw Melisandre in there like that?
We can't because you know you got to keep that pussy tight. Gotta lock that shit away. You can't just have it running all over.
Okay. I blame myself. This is my fault.
I do find it interesting, though.
Yes. Mm.
That the zombie horde
mm-hmm.
Didn't know Negan was in that trailer.
Hmm.
They weren't. They were trying to get in there because of
Gabriel.
But they weren't originally trying to get in there because
Negan was in there. Unless he went in a different way. He sent me by the
snow. And you know what? No, I will say this. You know what is interesting about that last shot?
Yeah.
That's the same. Isn't that the same shot from season one, episode one, when Rick was in the tank?
Yes.
And he gets surrounded. Yeah. That kind of aerial shot of that.
Yeah.
That. So I kind of think that was a kind of a cool tip of the hat to that first season after 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That would be crazy, actually, if Gabriel kills Negan.
Well,
did you not see what's coming up for the rest of the season?
I did.
With Negan running his mouth.
I did. But, you know, I'm sorry. Brothers can't dream no more in America, huh?
Not for another 3.5, anyway.
I know. It's Gabriel. I know.
Oh, my God.
That's funny because that's kind of like when Gregory got up there making that little, I stand with that, there was something very Trumpian about that, I thought.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of the way he came out and said, no, this is what we're doing, and...
I'll tell you what was very Trumpian about the fact they pushed him down the stairs.
Yeah.
Here with us, guys. Pushed him down the stairs.
Yeah, they pushed him
down the stairs. You didn't shoot him.
No.
You didn't, like, blow his knee. You pushed him down the stairs.
Yeah, did an Aunt Bunny on him.
Mm-hmm. My shoe.
Like, that's your recourse? Wow. I'm gonna push you down the stairs.
Right.
You upset me. You didn't turn out to be the person I thought you would be. And I'm like,
shit, if I did that to everybody that had me thinking they were somebody that they weren't.
Shit.
Those stairs would be looking pretty fucked up.
If you did that, I'd be selling stairs every day to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have stairs. We have big stairs. We have small stairs. We have marble stairs. We got iron rail stairs.
Shut up and take my money.
You got two choices. You go out through the window or the stairs.
Take the stairs.
But
didn't they tell him about the elephant?
He's like, "Fuck you! This time I'm going out the window."
I ask you this, gentleman. Now.
Yes,
you excited for the rest of the season for the dead?
Yeah, you know what? To be honest, I think I've gotten to the point where I don't know if I would say I'm all Walking Dead out at this point, but much like what Steven said before, I mean, where else are we going to go? You know, at this point, this actually could have been, this to me kind of feels like that season at Terminus, where, you know,
a little bit,
we, you know, the whole battle against these guys. And then it's just, the thing is that Negan to me with this first episode just came off very cartoonish. Mm. It's almost like Cobra Commander.
Yes.
You know, yeah, and we still can't kill him. Mm-hmm. We still, he ain't injured. You know, he just kind of runs off and you know, okay.
How many times?
I'm like, dude, what is wrong with your gun?
Hold on. Rick had a, Like, we had a submachine gun going full blast with two clips.
Man, I mean,
and still missing motherfuckers.
Maybe
you,
stormtrooper aim tonight. Yeah, maybe, right. Like, what
maybe,
the fuck?
Maybe you should have caught the crazy team, because the crazy team was catching cats
on roofs and shit.
Trees.
You know, if Michonne was with him, he would have had that nigga already. I'm just saying.
He might have.
That sword would have just like, you throwing swords now?
And if Woody had gone to the police, none of this would have happened. But
hello.
For y'all who might be on or don't know who Woody Woodpecker is.
Oh, no.
Oh, look, now.
We got more people.
No, but, actually, somebody left. Anyway. hey, guys. Rome wasn't built in a day. Anyway.
Right.
So, because one young man by the name of Cedric Watson of Brooklyn, New York, requested it.
What's up, Seth?
We have been asked to give further feelings on Orville.
Orville.
Oh,
now that we're about, what, 5-6 episodes in?
Yeah.
So, one thing I'm going to say is it continues to amuse me, but I'm having issues with pacing.
Okay.
And I mean, I get it. It's a sci-fi adventure thing. And again, I think the big difference here is that it's 2017 sensibilities. It's 2017 humor.
Referencing, yes, the referencing.
It interjected into a vehicle like that. And in a way, that makes sense. I mean, you know, and I think we discussed this before, how to a large degree, the original Star Trek series sort of reflected the 60s and 70s and their whole kind of like free love attitude,
right?
You know, at least as far as Kirk was concerned.
Right.
Star Trek Next Generation, Picard was all biz.
All biz, yeah.
All biz.
Yeah.
And that was
authoritarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was authoritarian, yeah.
Think about, you know, when that was airing.
Was it Bush or Clinton? George Bush?
Well, we were in the Bush-Clinton
transition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the 80s, like mid to, it was oh, mid to eight, late, right, late 80s.
We were just getting away from Reagan.
From Reagan. Mm-hmm. And we were going to H.W. Bush, right? Mm-hmm. And jumped into Clinton.
Mm-hmm. So the feel was very, very reflective of the times.
Right.
I mean, and franchises like that do that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that Seth MacFarlane is off base by attempting that.
No.
But I, going back to something that Mark said when we first started talking about the show, there seems to be some like question as to what the show is trying to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
because like, you know, like we talked about it, we had those two episodes that were interesting. Mm-hmm. Then you had that third episode that was like, this isn't a comedy, you know?
Right.
And then they kind of went right back into it. And then you had that Krill episode.
Yeah. And it became, I tell you, it's like they're melding the old Star Trek Next Generation, because the situations that they deal with are fucking deep already as they are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's some heavy shit. That, you know, gender, between the gender fluidity and then the idea of what do you do with civilization that's been on a ship for so long?
Yeah.
That's never seen.
Yeah. That's right? Never even
that have their own beliefs, those strong beliefs that they're you know what I mean? That's some heavy shit they're dealing with already.
It certainly is.
And the comedy is not... The comedy is cute.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to almost feel at times out of place.
Right.
It's super out of place.
Out of place. And the only
given reason, the serious, like, sometimes life and death things that they're actually dropped into. I mean...
This last Krill thing.
Yeah.
The last thing with the Krill and the kids.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
That was... you're right. It's...
What do you know?
And I mean, I don't mind the idea of I'm going to crack wise in the face of danger,
but not while you're like this is a serious mission, and the dude is really saying I'm Dave and Craig, right?
Yeah.
Like y'all didn't take the time out to figure out what the possibility of the phonetics of Krill sounding vocabulary. Right. You're on a starship. You have all this other kind of data you can probably use, and instead you just go with I'm Dave. This is Chris.
Right.
I think that's part of the. See, I think that's a small part of the problem.
Okay.
Because even with the Star Trek episodes, mm-hmm. we always knew when there was that lighthearted moment because it always was accompanied by some little funky little music.
Yeah.
And it usually happened at the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's not mentioned throughout the episode. Then at the end, like the thing he did with his leg. was supposed to be a practical joke.
Hell yes.
And I thought, to me, I was like, well, I didn't like outright laugh at it. There was a part of me that was like, that makes absolute sense that you would think that. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Because you know, you do stuff to people, mm-hmm. you know, and then somebody's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, right. I really don't understand your concept of humor.
Right.
I think I do. So you came in my room and you made me look like Mr. Potato Head. So I'm going to take one of your limbs.
Right.
You know, and then you can come in and be like.
Right. But knowing that, you know, the way science is now, mm-hmm. you can regenerate and put it back mm-hmm. as new, it's not really much of a loss. Right.
But so the only thing is that caught me off guard with that was right. because I thought with the mystery of the woman being on the ship,
yeah.
I thought she was a body part snatcher. So I thought she took his leg. It never right. occurred to me that this fool went in there and took his leg. And then hid it. And then hid it up in the vent somewhere in somebody else's room. Not even in his own.
Right.
So it was just one of those. Okay,
I'm laughing at this.
It was funny.
It was.
But I do think that show does have, it really needs to find its footing.
Mm. Right.
I really think that Seth also needs to, I think it may be time to ask a couple of Star Trek writers.
Okay.
To come
in and tweak the scripts mm-hmm. in terms of that kind of humor that you want to put into it
right.
to make it mesh well with the show. Because
otherwise, eventually what you're going to have is Family Guy in space.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean...
Because that's what he's going to end up falling back on.
That's the thing that he's trying... Right. Well, that's what he's doing with that blob. That walks around that's supposed to be
Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. So, you know, and even that's a
stretch. Cause
a stretch, yeah.
It's like a snot, like a giant living snot bubble.
Yeah.
That's gross.
You know. I mean, unless he's supposed to be like Chet.
Yes. Yeah.
In Weird Science.
You're probably supposed to be like a Chet. Dude,
like, Chet. Oh, what is that? Man,
Weird Science, another movie you couldn't make now.
Oh, no. You offend everybody.
You should, actually. I don't think you should.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Just the scene with, you know, the two of them sitting up there talking about, you know what got me with those big titties? That right there would get you in so much trouble.
Well... I think almost anything
that right there.
If you tried to remake any of John Hughes' stuff, you find your. Let me tell you, you know doggone well you could not remake 16 Candles.
Oh yeah, no.
Long Duck Dong in and of itself is a problem that you would never get away with. Like
no,
people are like,
true.
There's something wrong
Very
with you guys,
true.
And we're boycotting this film.
It wasn't you that was telling me
you could get
that
away with
dude. Actually, the guy that played Long Duck mm-hmm. Dong, it was you that told me the
yeah,
story,
he
right?
He didn't. He said that when he read the script, mm-hmm. there was no mention of a gong. So when they went to see the movie with his family,
yeah.
every time they mentioned his name, you hear that
boom.
And he was like, what the devil? So that must have been a fun night at the theater. Like your parents are like, not only are you playing this character, but what is this with the, you know.
That's why I don't see him anymore.
No. last time I saw him, he was on ER with, of all people, Scott Grimes, who plays the navigator on...
no kidding.
On
okay.
Orville.
Oh,
okay,
cool.
And what is it? How are you getting all these A-listers to make these appearances?
That is a good question. But I guess he's just juiced in.
Yeah.
Or they just gave him a hell of a budget.
Remember Ted? He did Ted. He was in a movie with Seth MacFarlane. Was in a movie with Charlize Theron. Yeah, so it's a movie.
I mean, the TV, sometimes it's hard to get those guys to do television because of the pay rate.
Well, you got the really money.
Nice, you know.
He must be a really nice guy.
You know, so, I mean, you got Liam Neeson to do, make it, well, not a physical.
Where was Liam Neeson in?
He was the people that were on the ship. He was their captain. He was the one they called the guy.
He left the message.
Yes.
Yeah, that was surprising
to see him. And
again, I'll tell you, Seth, this is not just, he's probably really, really nice guy. Like, people are willing to do.
Although I do, sure. I do need to know what his hang up is with The Sound of Music.
That's a beautiful movie, man.
No, but he's got. I'm not knocking the film.
Hi, Misty.
I'm not knocking the film. What I'm saying is that in his comedies, with Family Guy, there's always some reference to The Sound of Music, so that when the guy was like, put something on to make me feel better, and The Sound of Music pops up, and I'm like, what is it with you and The Sound of Music? I guess he must really like that musical, or
that's a beautiful movie, man.
It is a beautiful. I'm not disputing that. You keep talking like I'm disputing that it's a beautiful. It's not a beautiful film. Climb Every Mountain. Yes, I know this. It's a beautiful film.
First Michonne and now this, man.
You know what? What does The Sound of Music have to do with Michonne? Not going.
Hey, that's a great idea. Like,
the Sound of Michonne?
Yeah.
The musical?
Redo that shit with Michonne.
Redo that with Michonne?
Yeah, redo that. That would be awesome.
Singing with the samurai sword.
With the sound of me.
Just cutting through the wheat.
Just cutting heads.
Yeah, that'd be nice, yeah.
That nigga Grimes should have took me with him.
You know what? I can't with this guy, man.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly.
No. Hey, I got a ticket to ride. Exactly. I don't care.
You know what?
Long tall Sally. She is real sweet. Anyway. So, I don't know. Orville, it's like I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to see something a little more, or else it's going to lose me.
Right. Okay.
But,
yeah.
Because what's wild is it's starting to, it's supposed to be this new hot thing, but you're watching it and it kind of feels almost as slapstick as Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that Lucifer isn't, you know, it's like Lucifer is what it is. It's for those of you that haven't watched Lucifer, it's supposedly about the devil taking a vacation from running hell, and he's helping a cop in Los Angeles solve crimes.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But is that, I mean, there are some very clever moments in that show, you know, but then at the same time, there'll be clever stuff, and then there'll be stuff that's like, really? Like, if this is your premise, then why are we doing
this?
It's right. Like that kind of thing will happen every once in a while. And it's like, and it's almost slapstick. And then it's like, and then we're back to serious questioning of the motives of God and the universe and all that other stuff.
I think it's all existential and shit.
Right.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, they're on their third season. But I want to say one of the reasons they're on that's getting longevity, I think, is because they do have a lot of charming people in that cast.
Right. Pretty. A lot of beautiful people.
I was actually just hoping it would be scarier, since it is supposed to be Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I originally started watching. I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna start bugging out and like ripping people's hearts out of their chest.
Right.
And I have yet to really get that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
I'm sorry for you.
Oh. I know.
Should I buy you stairs?
So I can throw somebody down? I would love that. I really would.
I got you, boss.
Cool. Like a good 10.
But you have a good 10 flights, right?
10, yeah. Ten, no, just 10 steps.
10 steps. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Marble or wood? Any particular texture?
I like teak.
Teak?
Teak.
You know, I can't.
Nice. Teak, good.
With or without railing?
Railing? No railing. They might catch themselves.
But you know what? What if I have like just like one like a rail, but not pillared, but you know, just flat, so that they can go down steps. They don't fall over the side of the steps and fuck it up. You know what I mean? Like they hit every step at least.
Oh, okay, that's a good point.
Gotham.
Yes, got it.
Right. You know,
is there Grundy there? Is that
Solomon Grundy? Solomon
Grundy.
There's a Grundy.
Has now made an appearance.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, well, what they did, they turned Butch into Solomon Grundy. Grundy.
Right. They Grundied.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that yet, to be honest. Because, like you, the conversation we had before we started recording,
right.
I thought this was going to be Killer Croc.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, that would have made a little more sense.
I mean, here's the thing. I really enjoyed the fact that this show was actually, we never talk about one of the key characters in Batman, which is the city itself.
Oh,
the city. I've always thought that worlds, are actual characters themselves because they within them they hold all of these stories and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So right out the bat, I was like, "Well, this is great that we're not doing the Batman."
Okay,
you know that we're getting into and for the first couple of seasons, I thought it was great to see the rise of the Penguin,
yes, mm-hmm.
who is a character that not many people I could live a, you know, it doesn't make a difference between me if it isn't Burgess Meredith playing him. I really don't care,
right?
But right. But now it just seems like someone opened up a DC comic Batman comic book and started shaking it. It's like, let's see how many of these characters we can keep throwing in here.
But they've always done that. Remember, I mean, the Joel Schumacher movies.
Yeah.
Which, granted, nobody really likes to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but they threw everything but the kitchen sink out in those two movies.
Yeah.
And one good thing that I will say that the show did recently that has never been addressed, even with the Frank Gorshin version, it's like only in the comic books is there really talk about how the Riddler's superpower, quote unquote, is that he's really fucking smart.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He's a genius.
Now, yes.
Yeah.
Which is why he's a challenge to Batman. Mm-hmm. It's not a fisticuffs thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that this guy's really, really intelligent. And that never played off in the 60s version.
No.
Jim Carrey running around in pajamas with no real direction from Joel Schumacher, who never cracked a comic book before. Mm-hmm. That was nonsense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they basically introduced this person, and once you heard the name, you knew what was going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So when he goes off the deep end, goes dark side, or you know, however you want to call it, you know that's going to happen. But the fact that they brought emphasis in this by having him get frozen and then sort of lose his intelligence.
Right.
You know, lose his edge that way.
Right.
You know, I thought that was good because in the sense of it brought the focus back to what is supposed to be special about that specific character.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, he's just another gangster with a different color palette.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
That is.
So I look forward to him regaining his intelligence and getting back on track.
So that's
the one thing that kind of has my focus as far as that show goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the young man is, I guess, starting to grow into the Bat character, so to speak.
Right.
they're probably secretly slipping growth hormones in his breakfast cereal.
Because they want to get to that. They want to get to
teenage
Bruce Wayne. They want to get to the Bruce Wayne. That's why they're introducing him doing all of this stuff now.
Right. Well, they want to get to Batman.
Yeah, they really want to get to Batman.
Do you think they're going to pull a Smallville and just before it really gets to... I mean, in Smallville, they did eventually bring him to Metropolis and kind of, sort of have him doing the, you know...
Superman thing.
But, you know, I'm kind of feeling like they're going to pull the plug
right before,
just before they really have to full on commit,
make him.
Oh man,
that's my prediction.
Well, they might have to.
I don't know.
I mean, depending on how ratings are going.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Well, we'll see. I mean, because it's because I think people.
Misty
people,
said melted
people,
cheese.
people didn't really turn in to see Batman.
No.
Really, you know, I think people turned in more because the whole show is really supposed to be about Gordon.
Right.
You know, more than it is about Bruce Wayne. I mean, we get an intricate part. And I love that. What I do like is the fact that Alfred plays a much larger role.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being...
He's training him, correct?
The guy...
The British enabler.
The guy who just basically, you know, when he goes out at night, just sits at the computer console, just waits for him to call in.
Right, yeah.
He's like, hey, you okay? You need a bat check? You know, this, that, the other thing. If your bat cookies and bat milk out, so when you get back...
I would like that. I'd eat that. Bat milk, though. I don't know about the bat milk. That's not the whole thing.
But
Alvin, where'd you get this milk from?
You don't want to know.
Right, this milk, it tastes like house keys.
Yes. Wait, bat milk tastes like house keys. That is horrifying.
That's a horrible sight. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Looking back.
Oh my goodness.
Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze.
Yeah. But, you know what? I couldn't even. But
yeah,
because the other thing we haven't started to talk about is the tech. So, you know, I mean, Lucius is there. Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed they've kind of drifted away from
Harvey. Him in a couple of episodes.
We haven't seen Lucius. We haven't seen Harvey in a while. Harvey Dent.
Harvey Dent.
We haven't seen him for a while.
And that threw me off because Harvey is supposed to be Bruce's contemporary.
Mm.
So the fact that Harvey's already a grown ass man and Bruce is still a little kid. Like, there's a couple of things about what they're doing that kind of like strikes me as. Because I still like the notion of Bruce leaving town completely and learning the other side of criminality, you know, spending like gobs of time with, like, as Conan narrator Mako would say, the wool masters to teach him the deepest secrets. You know,
right.
That's the shit right there. That's
right. That's what you want to do. That's the other part.
Because in order for him to come back home with that Krav Maga and all that other stuff. And honestly.
That jitsu.
Yes. You know, but
they did that. See, they went and then they dragged Ra's al Ghul in.
Right.
You know, which.
Dr. Bashir.
Dr. Bashir. Yes, the guy who played Dr. Bashir on
Deep Space Nine.
Wait,
he's getting a lot of work lately.
Wait, Martell?
Yes.
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 Nice.
He's getting a lot of work lately.
I know. Nice. I don't know where the hell he's been.
But his agent for work is working overtime now.
He was doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof or something.
That's a word, man. Damn.
And now all of a sudden he's back on TV every other day.
The Iceman coming.
You know?
I think the last thing I actually seen him in after the Star Trek that Deep Space Nine was he played Hannibal on a BBC special.
He played
Hannibal, the actual soldier from Punic Wars. That was it.
Wow.
So Kingdom Heaven.
Yes.
No, I never saw that.
And he was also in a couple other movies, actually. Mm-hmm. He's been working.
He's been working.
Sure. They've been hitting him on the TV circuit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like you. It's like when I think about the Batman Begins movie, you know, and the fact that we get to see Bruce leave home, learn more about what he needs to learn, and then come back and then fight in Gotham. Maybe that's what they might do. Maybe this kid might get one of them gross first, and they're like, we're going to take you off for like a season and then bring you back. Or because you know the coward's way out that they've been doing this. Because because I think what happened was Poison Ivy started to grow quickly, the little girl, and they were like, well, we're just going to write a story in where she falls into something and then comes out as a grown woman.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, really? We just did.
She had a gross. Well, they could have a thing where, you know, Bruce falls into what? That Ra's al Ghul
and comes out.
Lazarus Pit.
The Lazarus Pit, and he comes out like a grown ass. Like, oh, God. Then Catwoman's fucked up because Catwoman's going to be still a girl. She'd be like this. Oh, no. Oh, Bruce. Which big shoulders you have?
So where's Bruce Wayne been?
Been a Lazarus pit. Yeah,
I've been at Abercrombie and Fitch, right. Modeling. And,
I went and bought Equinox. I now own Equinox. That's Bruce's explanation.
And I hired Rocco Disparito to be my personal chef. Oh my God!
That's it.
What happened?
What happened to Bruce? Bruce doesn't live here anymore.
What happened to Lucius? My name is Morgan Freeman.
You came God.
And I came back.
Wait, who was playing Lucius in Gotham?
What is the brother's name?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know his name.
He's a good actor.
No,
you've seen him before, though. You've seen him before.
I've seen him in a couple of things, but the name is escaping me.
But they're trying. I mean, you know, I hopefully...
It's like, it's so funny. It's like so many of these other shows that they do something, you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Then they do something else, and it's like, the fuck is that? You know, and it's like, you spend the whole hour going up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, how much time we got left?
What, in the show?
Yeah.
We got 10 minutes.
Awesome. What's next?
Ah, shit, I don't know. Oh, The Exorcist is back.
Yes.
Oh, okay, how is that,
John? The first episode was, it was all right. It's sort of setting the groundwork. I don't know how I feel about them just turning right into a completely different scenario.
Right.
You know, I think I'll miss Geena Davis a little bit. Because she was the best part of the first season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it looks like it might have legs. You know, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. They're going into season two now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is season two.
And they've kind of been quiet, you know, which means that...
Not a lot of publicity on the...
Well, I mean, quiet is good because what you can start to gain the kind of momentum as opposed to, like, jumping out and just like, here we are. And then, you know, everybody's got these high expectations. Right. And then you walk away like,
the other thing is, it's like... The Exorcist, it's kind of a brand unto itself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like a toilet paper commercial. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what you're getting.
Right.
Right, okay, right. Yeah.
You know, so it's...
You know what it's for.
Right, yeah. You know what it's for. Yeah. So it's, for me, I don't know, it's like...
Toilet paper.
Well, the difference, of course, is that everybody needs toilet paper, not everybody needs to watch The Exorcist.
Right.
But
well, not everybody. Some people is nasty. Some niggas just nasty. But yes, you're saying. I'm sorry. Yes.
But thankfully, we don't really know them.
Yes, well. We don't. No, we don't.
But what I'm saying is that it's sort of a self-explanatory thing, and you know, and some people because of religious proclivities or you know they're just check-in. You know, they're not going to watch The Exorcist no matter what you tell them, no matter what you say. Right. You know, it'll be, oh, it's great acting. It's about the devil, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, with the stuff that I write every once in a while, I'll get attitude from some churchy person, you know. And my stuff actually, you know, has some sort of morality in it, you know. But The Exorcist... It's a brand unto itself,
which is funny because I bet you if you put those people in the room and you said you got a choice, you gonna watch Lucifer or The Exorcist, they'd watch Lucifer before they watch The Exorcist.
Sure.
And the funny thing is that The Exorcist, actually, the term exorcism is that's what they do. They drive demons out. It's not
they're the good guys.
Based, yeah, they're the good ones. They're not the they're not the enemies, so, but, you know. And did you know William Peter Blatty passed away?
Who?
I did hear about that.
The first episode ended and they were like, you know, in memory of William Peter, I'm like, wait, when did he die?
It was
because I don't even remember hearing anything about
who's
that. He wrote The Exorcist.
He wrote the book.
He wrote that and Legion.
Okay.
So,
rest in peace. Right. Rest in peace, Bill. because I know you got some shit after you released that book.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
But I will see where it goes.
Yeah.
This season. It's, at least it got renewed.
I'm definitely, that's something I'm actually hoping to see good things out of. Like, real good, solid TV horror. Yeah.
Okay, all right, TV horror.
You know.
Speaking of which, gentlemen, have you guys been keeping up with American Horror Story?
I have.
I gotta be honest, they kind of lost me after the second episode.
Okay.
But I've heard that things get better.
Yeah, it's turning the corner now.
So, okay. I will...
It's... Now I'm understanding what direction it's going in.
Okay.
I think the first three episodes, I was still sort of like, okay, I'm not getting exactly, first of all, why you keep calling this cult.
Yeah.
But now as each episode has unraveled, and we now see who the members of this cult is and why they're part of this thing, it's like, wow, this is interesting. This is going to be interesting to see where they go after baseball is over, because I think that's why there hasn't been a new episode on, or something's going on, because I've only had five episodes recorded.
Right.
And so baseball season.
Something.
Well, no. World Series is about to be underway.
Oh, okay.
So Yankees actually got eliminated last night. Sports news on Beef One.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
It was gonna. People in the city were pretty psyched because, first of all, it didn't look. I mean, no one expected the Yankees to do that well this year,
right?
And then they did, and then it looked like they might go all the way, and it would have been Yankees Dodgers World Series, which would be good for the sport.
Yeah, I got you. Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Two coastal teams. Because a lot of times the Midwestern teams, that the ratings don't
really
score. Stuff. No, they don't.
Wow.
I'm not sure why that is.
Okay.
But.
And actually, a lot of old heads were looking forward to it because this.
Dodgers and Yankees is like an old school
rivalry.
That's absolutely.
You're talking about 20s? From
the Brooklyn days when they were 50. Brooklyn Dodgers. 50 was 1955, I think it was.
I see. I feel
Remember, right. Ebbets Field.
Ebbets Field. Ebbets Field. Right,
what
right
they doing with that field anyway?
It's the projects now.
No, not the whole field. Don't they have to. Never mind.
They tore the whole thing down. It's now the Ebbets Field housing.
Housing projects.
Mm-hmm. And right next door to that is Jackie Robinson.
Memorial Field or something?
No, it's a school.
It's cool. People are getting, like, you know, beat up by ghosts of old racist baseball players and shit at that project. I'm just saying.
What you think?
Oh, my bad.
What the hell?
Damn.
That's an interesting ringtone.
My bad. I'm so sorry.
This is why I can't do this show with this man.
Wow, that's the story right there.
I need Taryn back.
Ebbets Field. That's like old racist. Because you know the baseball players back in the days was racist as fuck, and now they got black people living on top of their playing field. They were like Field of Dreams, like Field of Races. Like Field of Races.
If you build it, they will come fuck you up.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have these black folks up in here and you know how these people feel about y'all.
Mommy, I saw Ty Cobb. Yes. He called me Darky. That's nice. Fucked up.
I don't even have words.
Yo, man, there's this nigga outside with a bat calling us jungle monkeys. I don't know where that's coming from.
At this point, this is exactly
this what is Halloween. This is Halloween. This is what you expect Halloween.
Ghost. Racist baseball player.
Yeah.
I mean, in all fairness,
that's something that, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Nobody wrote that yet. I'm surprised.
Speaking of which, have both of you seen Bingo Long and Traveling All Stars and Motor Kings?
Yes.
Yes. That's. I just wanted to make sure.
That's a great movie.
And anybody out there that's not listening to us right now, you should definitely put that on your list of to-dos. Hey, we've got like a minute left. Kirk, how do people contact you on social media?
You can contact me at Facebook, Kirk Johnson, Twitter, Kirk Johnson at armtora.com. You can get me there. Also, I have a blog site. You can also just shoot me a hey, how you doing? Two Lands Far Field. That's also on Facebook. That's my page. So say what's up. Holla.
Mark?
Who is MarkLAbbott.com? That's the website. You can catch me on Facebook, Who is Mark L. Abbott, and Mark Abbott. That's my other page. That's pretty much where you can find me.
Sweet. And, of course, I'm at LaughingBlackVampire.com. Pick up a copy of Brookwater's Curse or Kill the Genius, because you know what? You need that in your life.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
All right. That is it for this episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. Coming in and going out in 5 seconds. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening, and good night.
Take care.
Good night. Be careful. Watch them.